Would you pray with me, please? Father, we're so very grateful for the gifts that you bestow upon us. How you look down from heaven, how you call and reach out to each one of us. And as we respond to you, how you surround us with your love, I pray you would please do so again this morning. Letting each heart know the great lengths to which you have gone to see that they be saved. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you sure it's me you want, Lord? Have you ever asked him that? Father in heaven, do you really want me? Let me highlight briefly a story that has helped me through the years answer that question. I know somewhere here I've discussed that in the past, but I also know that today there are people here who have never seen it in this story. Never see that this story reflects the way that the Lord sees you. I referred last week to this incident in scriptures when I was showing slides about our proposed and planned mission trip to Transylvania next year. It is in the book of Acts, chapter 16, if you'd like to read with me. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. And starting in verse 6. Where it says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. That's all of Turkey, modern Turkey. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, Paul, God bless him, was a preacher. He was in the business of disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed. So to be stifled like this over such a long journey from being able to do his job, well, it's just painful for him. But the Lord was working a plan. The Lord was executing a mission. And he sends Paul a vision of a man, a Macedonian man, who says, please help us. And so Paul and Luke and Timothy and Silas, they get down to the Turkish coast. They board a ship. They sail across the Aegean Sea over into the European continent in northern Greece. One purpose, one mission. We need to find this man and his friends who need our help. It continues now in the 16th chapter there, verse 11. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. I love this about Lydia. I've been far from home like this and taken in by gracious souls, from shepherds to merchantmen. There's nothing quite like the reception of true hospitality. That's why it's a spiritual gift. There's something very special about it. It reminds me of Jesus' instruction to his disciples in this regard in Now that includes us. You're a disciple of Jesus, aren't you? Right, then it speaks to us. Matthew 10th chapter. Matthew 10, verses 11 through 13. Jesus speaking there, Matthew 10, verse 11 says, "Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. And if it is not, let your peace return to you." You know, the Irish have a saying. When they enter a place, they say, "God bless all here." So if you hear me saying those words as I enter your front door, now you're going to know what I'm up to. Let's go back to Lydia, though, for the main point back there in Acts 16. It said there in verse 14 about her, Acts 16, verse 14. "One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message." Lydia was from Thyatira. That's a city on the other side of the Aegean Sea, back over in modern-day Turkey. So she's an outsider here in Philippi. She was a good businesswoman, but she would always remain an outsider to the locals there in Philippi. It says also that she was a worshiper of God. Now, when Luke wrote this, everyone knew what he was referring to. It was a common phrase in those days, but in our generation, we have to look it up to understand what it is. This phrase referred to a Gentile person who believed and who worshiped Yahweh as the one true God. But they were not allowed full membership in the Hebrew faith. So they were kept just outside the doors and referred to as God-fearers. So Lydia, who loved God, was an outsider in her religious life, too. I wonder if she knew how much the Lord loved her. The last part of verse 14 there said she was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. This is the interesting part to me. Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, a fellow in great need of the gospel. Paul recognized the urgency of the vision. God was blocking him from preaching anywhere else. The Spirit of Christ was driving him forward, driving Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke 1,000 miles over sea and land to get to Philippi, to find the man in the vision. And when they get there, they discover that the man in the vision is actually Lydia and the women who were there praying with her beside that stream. That's how much Jesus loved Lydia. That's how much the Father and the Holy Spirit wanted Lydia to be embraced and made known that she's a part of the heavenly family. I'll show you one more little thing. This is a little extra bit. Verse 16 there in Acts 14. Just the first part of it says, "Once when we were going to the place of prayer," and then it goes on and tells another story. You see, this spot became a place to the believers there. When you go there, I've been there. It's so easy to find. You're in Philippi. There's only one little stream that runs by the town. You go upstream a little bit. It's very easy to find this spot. There's a little shrine there today because the believers, the Christian believers, have always recognized that this was a spot. They've always hallowed it. It was a special place. It is still today a special place where the love of God for one person was made so evident. Are you sure that it's me you want, Lord, to be your disciple? To see the Lord's concern that we be included in his family business is just absolutely astonishing. Look at one more. It's from the book of Isaiah, Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Kadosh, Kadosh, El Shaddai. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. Here we have the most glorious being in the universe who has loved us with an everlasting love. He's surrounded by beings of such strength and beauty and glory that when they speak, the pillars of the heavenly courts tremble. And yet in his plan to involve human beings in his work to save humanity, he calls out, who will go for us? Who will go and help save a dying world? And little Isaiah speaks up, here I am. Send me. Who are we to say to God that we are indeed ready and capable of responding to his call and accomplish his mission? When we know inside that we are not all that capable. That remind you of what the scriptures just told us about Lydia. It said the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And Isaiah had a coal brought from the altar of God and placed on his lips. You see, the Lord who loves you and now needs you to go on his behalf will likewise prepare your heart to hear and to do his will. And your mouth to speak his things. And just like Lydia, the Lord loves you. He understands you. He's prepared a place in his kingdom specifically for you. And as Lydia was called to be a living witness for Christ in the town in which she lived, called by God to go for him on his behalf, he now calls you. Why? You should ask me why. It's an excellent question, let me tell you. Because Lydia is gone now. Lydia, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke. God bless their memory, but they're gone now. And the Lord needs living witnesses. And you're it. Are you going to refuse? Jesus said something else there. In Matthew 10, it was read for our scripture reading, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, he said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. All Christians, all disciples of Christ are ministers on Christ's behalf. There is no such thing as a non-ministering Christian. A non-ministering Christian is a contradiction in terms. But you ask, who am I to speak for God? Who are you? We know who you are. You're just like the rest of us. God is not concerned about your abilities or your inabilities. What he's asking for is your willingness. Who will go for us? Our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. 2 Corinthians 3:6. The point is, he wants you. He understands you. To invite the people that he puts right in front of you, just like he did with Paul and Lydia. He drives Paul 1,000 miles and he puts Lydia right in front of him. The Lord needs you to invite the people he puts right in front of you to join you on the path to heaven. A lot of people are looking for it out there. They don't know where it is, but you found it. You know where it is. You don't have to preach. You don't have to perform miracles. All you have to do is invite them to come and sit beside you right here. That is evangelism in its highest and purest form. The Lord puts a person in front of you who needs a new life in Christ, who needs a closer, more faithful walk in Christ, and you know where they can find it. So then why not bring them? Bring them with you some Sabbath and let the Holy Spirit do his work in their lives. Let me help you with this. I'm going to be gone for about 3 weeks here. When I come back, second Sabbath in October, I'm going to be preaching a sermon about, I've already titled it, Many Roads to Travel, about the famous roads in the Bible, biblical roads, like the road of Jericho, that sort of thing. Talking about the paths that we walk in life and the options that are available to us and what the Lord is calling us to. There'll be slides, pictures illustrating it. It's a good day. That's a good kind of day to invite someone to come to church for the first time back, to invite someone new, or to invite some lost sheep from the house of Israel to come back. It'll be autumn time, coming into the holiday season. This is a wonderful time of year to invite someone to come back. It's harvest time. All you have to do is to invite them to join you on a walk and to walk beside you to the kingdom.